Hello, Marco Werman here, host of the daily public radio news program, The World. Each week on the show, we feature really cool music from all over the globe. And every Friday, we share it here with you on our Global Hit podcast. Here are some of our stories from this week. Politics isn't the only thing that can bring up deep-seated passions when talking about Cuba. Music can also do the same thing. And when those two are mixed together, well, things can get really intense. The Cuban band Los Van Van is one of those bands that inspire both. And to tell us about that, we're joined by Felix Contreras. He's the host of Alt Latino, a weekly podcast and radio show from NPR about Latino arts and culture. Felix, welcome to you.
Hey, Marco. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
So before we get to the big controversy around Los Van Van, tell us about the band itself.
Okay, Los Van Van is one of those bands that's both popular and musically innovative. Okay, that started in 1969 by bassist Juan Formel. He was playing in other popular bands at the time, dance bands, right? But he wanted to hear more than the usual. So this band that he created mixed Afro-Cuban with funk and with other pop music forms. And between 1970 and 1976, the band and the percussionist, and in particular a guy named Jose Luis Quintana, who also is known as Changuito, they developed this rhythm pattern called songo. And in the most simple explanation, I'm going to vocalize it, okay? A typical mambo goes boom, paka, pika, boom, boom, paka, pika, boom, boom, paka. That's the form, right?
Right.
They did this. Boom, paka, pika, boom, 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 paka, tika, boom, paka, pika, boom, boom, paka, tika, boom, right?
Shaking it up.
They made it a lot funkier, and they sort of expanded it out a little bit, and it became incredibly popular.
All right, let's hear some music. What are you going to give us as a first example?
Okay, this is a song later in their career. This is called Anda Ven y Muévente, but it has all the elements we talked about, the rhythm stuff, but then you can also hear all the great horn lines and this very, very progressive lyrics. Check it out.
Los Van Van, not your grandpa's mambo. It's musically innovative. It's very popular with everybody on the island, most people anyway. What's there not to love about that?
The first thing to remember, Marco, is there's nothing about Cuba is easily explained or examined, right? It's like there's very complex emotions, politics, and reality. The second thing is that music can be divided between those that stayed and those that left.
Right.
Now, remember, Los Van Van, they toured extensively around the world, and they were able to become very, very popular, largely because they had the support of the Cuban government, which saw the band going around the world singing the praises of this really magnificent Cuban music, and then sometimes celebrating the virtues of the revolution in the lyrics, okay? Now, this song we're going to hear now is called Canción Urgente para Nicaragua. It's with Silvio Rodriguez, who was a very political singer-songwriter. Remember, the Cuban government was very supportive of the Sandinista government in Nicaragua in the early 80s. And this is a song reflecting that political and emotional and musical support.
And how would you translate this? Urgent song for Nicaragua? Simple as that?
Yeah, an important song, urgent song. Se partió en Nicaragua, otro hierro caliente. Se partió en Nicaragua, otro hierro caliente. Porque el águila daba su señal a la gente, con que el águila daba su señal a la gente. Se partió en Nicaragua otra soga con cebo. Se partió en Nicaragua otra soga con cebo, con que el águila daba por el cuello al obrero. Con que el águila daba por el cuello al obrero.
So, Felix, Los Van Van going around the world singing the praises of the revolution in Cuba, if they came to the States, I'm guessing that wasn't a very popular thing to do.
You know, in 1999, they did their first tour of the United States, and they saved the last show of the tour for Miami. And, you know, it became so intense that the promoter had to move the venue because the venues didn't want any trouble. I was living in Miami at the time. I was working for NBC, so we sent crews over to cover, and they were very, very large crowds. They were very vocal and sometimes violent. Our crews came back with images and stories of people throwing things at concert goers. They were spitting on people walking into the concerts. The radio stations wouldn't play the band's music. They encouraged people to try to stop the concert. It was really a big deal. But actually, it was really one of the last times it was that big of a deal. I lived there from 98 to 2001, and I saw a lot of change, a lot of easing of the tensions for a variety of reasons, but mostly generational.
In South Florida?
Correct.
Yeah, so what was going on that contributed to the shift in attitudes, do you think?
It was also the influence of the people who had come during the Mariel boat lift. That was between April and October of 1980. 125,000 Cubans left the island from Cuba's Mariel harbor, right? Mm. Castro let those folks go. These are people who grew up with Los Van Van, right? So there's a huge clash in politics and culture and musical taste between the exile community who came here after the revolution in 59 and the people who came during Mariel. These folks were raised on songo and not the classic mambos, cha-cha-chas, and even Cuban son.
So did this musical conflict ever get resolved?
You know, not really, and that's the complexity of talking about Cuba. Everyone is extremely patriotic, all right? Often celebrating the same historic figures like José Martí, the poet who was the father of Cuban independence, where each side sort of interprets his poetry for their own perspective. And the only musician to achieve that kind of equal status on either side was Celia Cruz. She was very, very strongly anti-Castro, but she was so popular even on the island that folks gave her a pass for those views. And she still, to this day, is like one of the most revered Cuban musicians of all time. But not so with Los Van Van. There's a very clear line in the sand about this band.
On that note, Felix, I'd like to take us out with a kind of a rare track recorded by Los Van Van with the Brazilian percussionist Carlinhos Brown. This came out a few years back for the HIV/AIDS benefit CDs from the Red Hot organization. A song called Soy Loco Por Ti America, which, you know, kind of tips to those complexities you were talking about in Los Van Van, the band of Castro's revolution, a band that also loves American culture. So here we go. Felix Contreras, thanks so much for sorting things out with us about Los Van Van.
It was my pleasure, Marco.
Felix Contreras, the host of Alt Latino, a podcast about Latino arts and culture. This week they're doing a deeper dive into Cuban music by looking at those who stayed on the island after the revolution and those who left. Soy loco por ti, América. Voy a traer una mujer playera. Que su nombre sea Marte. Que su nombre sea Marte. Soy loco por ti. One thing is for sure, Gabriel Garcia Marquez was a singular writer, and his influence goes well beyond the printed page.
Gabriel Garcia Marquez is our inspiration.
That's Juancho Valencia. He's a keyboard player and conductor of the Colombian band Puerto Candelaria. Valencia says if sound could leap off the pages of 100 years of solitude and its imaginary town Macondo, then Puerto Candelaria would be the town band.
How is the sound of the books of García Márquez? Puerto Candelaria is the sound of Macondo.
Juancho Valencia says it's a crazy sound. Valencia admits that as the band in the imaginary town plaza, Puerto Candelaria may come across as innocent, even naive. But in their music, he says, there's a lot of love and happiness.
This is Latin America, romance and crazy place. It's a good combination.
It is easy to hear a soundtrack to the magical realism of Gabriel Garcia Marquez in this. But let's remember that Puerto Candelaria come from Medellin, a city that used to be considered one of the most violent places in the world. So perhaps Puerto Candelaria have been able to pull their own kind of magical realism out of their hats, creating carefree and fun music, while living in a place where reality hasn't always been so fun. But don't think of the band's music as escapism, says Juancho Valencia.
Our music is not escape, it's a solution. The solution is the happiness. The solution is the humor, is the dance. No fight. Come on to dance.
The house of worship for the Paris-based electronic duo Acid Arab is the dance floor. That may be sacrilegious for some people, but to Guido Minici and Hervé Cavallo, who are Acid Arab, the nightclub is where they hope body and soul are transported to a higher plane. And to help clubbers get there, Acid Arab turns to musicians like legendary Algerian rocker Rachid Taha. If this trip with Rachid Taha isn't your cup of tea, don't despair. Acid Arab provides many other ways to attain musical enlightenment. The path we'll take to the end of today's show is their collaboration with singer Sofiane Saidi. Here's their song, La Hafla. We come to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. We'll see you back here tomorrow. كيندير نشوفك راكي طولي يا ماما ويا ماما شاطرة كيف الخرجات حواس المضويات يا ماما ويا ماما شاطرة كيف الخرجات حواس المضويات يا فاطمة بنت الجار وديري نفسية وحنا نسيك راني نكولي زاد عليا الهم والحمالية كيندير نشوفك راكي طولي يا ماما ويا ماما شاطرة كيف الخرجات حواس المضويات يا ماما ويا ماما شاطرة كيف الخرجات حواس المضويات جاوبت على